This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We gotta have a drive.
23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Shope and the Bulldog.
All right, good evening. Nate Geary here, filling in for Mike Shope. And with the Bulldog, we're going right to Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
Obviously, wasn't the prettiest way we can win. Got some stuff to clean up, but we'll take a victory.
What happened? Midway through the second quarter, you guys were smoking, and then it all went away. What happened?
Well, they get paid, too, on that side to make adjustments and make plays. And, you know, I feel like starting with me, just didn't make enough plays, especially in that second half, taking the boneheaded sack there right before half, not giving us a chance to double dip. So a lot of stuff to clean up, lot to learn from, but we'll take it.
On that play, what happened and how did you get injured on that or whatever?
Yeah, just tweaked my foot a little bit. Just flamed up on me a little bit. Pain subsided, so we're good.
Did you feel like the injury impacted you at all in the second half?
No, I don't think so. No.
On the dropped Knox touchdown, what was the thinking? I mean, it was wide open. I understand that, but quarterback sneaks were pretty good for you guys for a long time. Why did you do what you did there?
Well, if I remember correctly, it was 4th and 2. Those are typically tough to get, getting a sneak. So anytime it's longer than really one, you're kind of holding on to yourself there. So I love the play call. The play was there, and, you know, I can get it out to him a little bit quicker. And, yeah, we know what happens there. So it's all good.
You guys weren't able to run the ball as well in the second half, especially on early downs. What would you attribute that to?
They were making plays. They found something that was working for them. And, at the end of the day, though, last drive, they knew we were running it. We had to run it, and we did, and got the first.
What did you see on that Dalton play? It looked like you made a great catch. Obviously, it wasn't ruled a catch, but what did you see on that play and what worked?
Yeah, man-to-man, threw him a fade. Close one. Those are, game of football, game of inches. So, we know we'll make these plays, and, I got to continue to keep throwing them and giving our guys opportunities.
What can you say about the offensive line pretty much keeping Myles Garrett neutralized in this one?
Yeah, they did fantastic. The game plan going into it, getting some hands on him early, giving him different looks. So it's a credit to the offensive staff and our offensive line.
You mentioned the sack earlier, Josh. Was that just maybe trying to do too much in that?
100%. Yeah, just throw it away.
What was your reaction to James's long touchdown run?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I threw my hand up early, then I put it down. I was like, oh, he's tackled. Then I put it up again after he ran. I mean, he's the best back in football. You know, I don't know how awards shake out, but, I mean, he should be in the running for every award. He's an absolute stud. We love having him, and he makes our offense go.
You guys tried to make the play to put it away, and then it was the defense. Tell me about what you saw from your own defense at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it time and time again throughout the year, having to go out there and make a play, and they continue to do it. So it's obviously great to see that out there, and those guys getting after the quarterback.
There was a third down to Khalil that looked like it would have gone for a lot of yards. Yeah. Was there a miscommunication there, or was that just
I just missed throw? A throw, yeah, just missed the throw.
You're actually just watching Greg kind of take over and lay in that situation.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, anytime, you know, you're coming off the sideline, you're kind of ticked off that, you know, you didn't finish the game in your own hands and how you wanted to do it. But then, you know, opportunities for our defense to go out there and make plays and, you know, get those reps and show how good of a defense they are. So it's great to know that we've got a defense that can go out there and do that and make big plays when they need to.
We bring up the turnovers when they're made, and then don't bring them up when you don't make them. How important is that to be able to go on the road and not turn the ball over, even when you're struggling offensively?
Yeah.
Knowing that
I mean, yeah, it's awesome. You know, I consider fourth downs turnovers. I don't know if it's an official turnover, but, you know, we didn't get one. We should have got on the third down. Again, that was on me. But anytime that we don't score, we feel like it's a letdown for us. We have that type of mindset. We've got the guys that are more than capable to go out there and score on every drive. Obviously, that's not extremely realistic week in and week out, but that's our mindset. Every time we step on the field, we want to score touchdowns, and you know, we got to do a better job of that.
Much of anything really in the passing game today, you're going to reflect that. But again, this is another game where you really didn't get anything from your wide receivers. I mean, is this a thing? You know, it's happening week after week. At some point, is that going to come up and bite you? Will you just not get?
Help put our guys in better situations and give them better opportunities. But again, anytime you run the ball with James Cook and with the success that we were having early, that's you know, we're going to continue to do that, and it's going to open things up. So just got to keep trusting it. Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Bills quarterback Josh Allen, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We'll get to this to Skywork stats of the game here in just a moment. But Bulldog, a nervous game as
aggravating.
Yes.
An aggravating game because I don't know. I never felt like the Bills were in real danger, even when they fell behind 7-0. They kind of took the game over from there. But then all of a sudden it's a 6-point game and then a 3-point game. And like you're hanging on for dear life against the Browns, who you know are terrible and mostly even today were terrible. So it was a struggle. I think today was somewhat of a struggle emotionally, I think, for fans watching the game and for the team on the field. I think they had to dig in and work a lot harder than maybe they even thought they would have to, settling only for one single field goal in the second half of this game.
And I know Josh Allen's not going to, you know, say anything negative or throw this group of receivers under the bus there when he was asked about it. But it's just, you know, it's several games in a row now, but two in a row where Brandon Cooks just drops absolutely perfect, like layered, easy, like this isn't the jugs machine being launched at you. Like these are
dropped right in.
And like these are just catches that, you know, a JV coach would be upset about a player dropping. Well, we could talk about, you know, what decisions they're going to be making at the wide receiver position in the coming weeks here, you know, this week. But I don't know, Bulldog. I look at this group of receivers and they just are not getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's really telling that they chose to make Coleman and Davis inactive in this game. It tells you what kind of confidence for some reason they have in Cooks. That must be, he must be practicing like a demon. You know,
it is not translating.
He's been a good player in his career, but all he's done now through, you know, these 2 weeks is let them down. I don't know, man. You got four balls to Shakir today, one to Shavers, one to Palmer, and that's it from your receivers. I mean, just, you know, it's not enough. It's you know, such a familiar refrain from us on this post-game show and on our weekly shows in Buffalo, Nate. I mean, but it's totally justified. You know, need to be said. They're just not getting production there, and the drops the last 2 weeks, I mean, they've gotten away with it with Cooks both times, but today, just barely.
And I'll say this, though. I mean, on the positive side here, Bulldog, you look at the defensive side of the ball early in this game. Again, it just looked like Cleveland could do no wrong. The interception was really the only bright spot in the first half for this Bills defense. But towards the end, I mean, that was about as dominant of a performance I've seen from Gregory Rousseau in his career. I mean, I maybe go back to last year, maybe it was 2 years ago in the preseason against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where I think he has three sacks in that game. But these were very timely, and it kind of felt like he took over the end of this game.
Yeah, he really abused Robinson, the left tackle there, on one of those sacks. I mean, he just stabbed him and, you know, like stabbed and punch, and the guy just was completely out of it and off balance. And Rousseau had a clear path to the quarterback for one of those. Yeah, 2.5 sacks on the day. Poyer picks up the half sack on, I think, that last one there. So, yeah, and one of those coming on a fourth down stop when the game was really hanging in the balance. That's the kind of impact play at a time of the game that I think a lot of fans and maybe even the Bills organization themselves have been wanting to see Rousseau come through in a game-changing moment like that, and today he really did.
While we wait for Sean McDermott to hit the coach's podium, let's get a quick check of the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up.
All right, on the day, very modest passing, 12 of 19 for Allen, 130 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice, including that wild spinorama play that was dangerously close to a safety and that Allen seemed to get, you know, did get shook up on, hurt his foot, but said there in his post-game appearance that he's fine. 16 for 117 and two scores on the ground for James Cook. He's got 12 rushing touchdowns on the year, two more through the air. He had 16 rushing last year, and we all expected some regression, and I mean, he might not get to 16, but it's barely been a regression. Another monster day for James Cook, most of that in the first half. Josh Allen, 7 for 17 on the ground. Ty Johnson only carried 3 for 16, but did have one touchdown on the day. Khalil Shakir, already mentioned, 4 for 34 through the air, and that's really it, passing. I mean, you can imagine with the modest numbers that Allen had on the day. On the Cleveland side, we've got, three quarterbacks in the box score here. Shedeur Sanders, 20 of 29 for 157, one touchdown and two interceptions. Both were balls that tipped one off of an intended receiver, the other off the hands of a defensive lineman. So not really the fault of the quarterback, I would say, although the first one that he bounced off his player's shoulder pads was, you know, a badly thrown ball, but still could have had a better result there. Bohorquez attempted a pass in this game after a botched field goal snap, and Dillon Gabriel took one snap in this game. Sanders led the way on the ground for Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders, that is, 4 for 49. Raheem Sanders, 11 for 42. Quinshon Judkins, their fantastic rookie running back, 8 for 22, but he left with what looked to be a pretty devastating injury.
They're saying a broken leg.
Yeah. 2.5 sacks for Greg Rousseau, a half sack for Jordan Poyer. Poyer also led the team in tackles with 11 total.
Yeah, and special teams today also not so good. The Michael Badgley experiment hopefully will be a one-week one because a missed extra point today, and he did not get to the landing zone on a kickoff, which gave the ball to the Cleveland Browns at the 40 when this defense really could have used all the help it could have got today in terms of field position. So some tough special teams plays from their third kicker of the season. All in all, as you kind of mentioned earlier, it didn't feel like a game that I was super nervous throughout, but man, it just, that is not a good football team that you let hang around today. And listen, the issues defensively, they're not going anywhere. You know, they're going to get at Oliver back here in the next couple of weeks as they go into the playoffs. And Matt Milano was a bright spot again today, and obviously Greg Rousseau, another bright spot again today. But just the overarching issues with this defense appear to be here to stay, and just inability ability to get off the field on third down, third and long conversions. And today, Shedeur Sanders, not really known to be a scrambling quarterback, I mean, just killed them on a handful of scrambles today. A couple on third down, a couple on second and long that gave them third and short opportunities. Yeah, it was a tough day. They didn't adjust too well to him as a runner. I'm not sure they prepared a lot for it, though, in fairness.
I was not expecting him to impact the game like he did scrambling. And frankly, I mentioned that Gabriel got that one snap. I think it was a good thing that Sanders had to leave when he did, because if that play unfolds the same way, Sanders had been getting out of that pocket and you know, hurting the Bills, and they managed to corral Gabriel there on that one snap that might have been a first down, or you know, who knows, maybe Cleveland even gets in the end zone there if Sanders stays in the game there. So a pretty big moment there that I think the Bills caught a little bit of a break with Gabriel in place of Sanders for that one snap down close to their own goal line.
Yeah, and listen, I think, again, we'll have a lot of time this week, Christmas week that is, of course, to talk about what this team's going to do at the wide receiver position, but I kind of keep going back to this, Chris, because it's like I didn't understand the demotion of Gabriel Davis out of the lineup, and then to keep him out of the lineup and Keon Coleman out of the lineup today. We saw one catch from Tyrell Shavers. I'm still just wondering when he's going to get involved in the offense. I don't know, is this a trust issue with Josh Allen? It feels like they're separating enough to get the ball, but I mean, Josh Palmer was brought in here as one of the league's top 12, top 15 separators, and he just is making no impact on these games week in and week out. It's been a tough watch at this group of receivers. I've got to wonder if Gabriel Davis will be back in the lineup next week. It feels like at least Josh trusts him. I think the offensive coordinator trusts him. I'm having a tough time connecting the dots of why he's not in the lineup.
Same here. They seemingly could not wait to get Mecole Hardman back in. I mean, they just opened his 21-day window to return to practice this week, and he's brought up from the practice squad and in this game. And, you know, he only touches the ball on one punt return. There's a late punt return that
he's not even on the field for.
They don't trust him to field the ball there. They have Shakir out there for that. So, like, what are we doing with Mecole Hardman? I'm going to have to wait and see what the snap share was. Did he even run any routes? I'm sure he wasn't targeted. Just a very weird lineup choice there, assuming everyone's healthy. The whole thing, McDermott, from the minute they signed Hardman, he sounded like he really had a crush on him for his speed and what he might offer them. And, you know, he barely played, of course, got hurt and has been out, but now is back. To go in ahead of both Coleman and Davis is really pretty incredible for one punt return. They're not going to use him as a kick returner. Ray Davis is leading the league in kick return average, at least going into today. So I'm not really processing what's going on there.
I'm with you. Time now to get our ServPro first response from the fans. ServPro cleaning, restoration, and construction like it never even happened. Get your quote now at ServPro.com. Let's kick things off with Andy in New York City. Andy, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hi, thanks, guys. I know there's other things that impacted the outcome of this game. I just wanted to bring up, again, McDermott's game-time decisions that I'm still confused as to why he challenged the placement of the ball on second and one in the fourth quarter. I mean, first, the one point of that drive was to waste clock. Second and one is way more of it's a better down than first and 10. I've never seen a coach challenge a play and like against his own, but it was actually against the Bills, the success of the challenge. All right, I'll hang up and listen. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. I'll start and say I just do not understand the league's replay assist system. That seems like the most ideal situation for the league to step in. It was very clearly a first down. Yeah. So I don't understand, Andy, your criticism here. The down has no difference in the game in terms of game time. You can still take the same amount of time off of the clock, regardless of if it's first and 10 or second and one. So I'm not following you on that one. But for me, this is going back to a frustration that I have, and I think a lot of people have, with the replay system. The same thing on the safety. Wait, it's not a safety. No, it's not a safety. Two separate replay assists. I'm just having a tough time understanding how they apply it, when they apply it, the consistency in which they apply it. That just seems like a play that is a wasted play for Sean McDermott to have to throw a flag when the league should very clearly have that figured out.
Yeah, it looked... I mean, why challenge it? Because it was obviously a first
correct.
Down.
Yes.
And here, it, you know, it is a reason. All
right, we do have Sean McDermott, at the podium.
Important part. Great job, Bills Mafia, showing up. Only a short trip, but we definitely heard them. Even last night when we came into town. So I really appreciate their support. Want to point out a couple guys. James Cook, another 100-yard effort. Obviously not just one guy in terms of when that happens, but. He's having a great season, ninth, I believe, of the season. Dion, you know, up against a challenge today, big time challenge, and able to keep Miles at bay. I think he got one or half of one. So it was great competition there by those two guys and the O line overall. And then Greg Rousseau, big time production today, as well as Jordan Poyer on the defensive side, and then DQ getting his first interception. Thought the stops in the second half, in particular the fourth quarter, were big for the defense.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Two takeaways overall for the game, leading to 9 points by the offense. So, offensively, I thought we started well. Second half, not so much. Defensively, didn't start as well. Came back in the second half and did some things to help us win the game there, obviously. Toughness of overall the football team, good to see, but still plenty to work on. So we need to do the basic things better. You ask me what that is, I'll start with basic fundamentals, and then it'll go into executing the plays, the scheme, what have you. So, but all in all, good to get a win. We'll take it, and we've got a lot of work to do as we move forward this week.
Can you talk about Greg Rousseau's performance? He pretty much that fourth quarter, he kind of dominated for you guys.
Yeah, that was huge. We needed that from Greg. We believe that he can do that. He can impact the game. So it's good to see him get back in that kind of in that mindset. The grounding call was huge. You know, forcing that late in the game, backing him up, and then being able to win the game in 4 minutes on the offensive side. the play to Jackson Hawes was critical for us right there. Jax did a great job, Josh as well, and then getting the quarterback sneak to end it pretty much.
You had said a few weeks ago, Sean, somebody asked you about Greg and his season because it had been a little bit frustrating for him, yeah. It seemed like. Do you think, like, I mean, today obviously, but have you seen something come around with him?
Well, it's not that he hasn't been trying. He's been giving great effort. Greg's built that way. He's a very conscientious young man. I think, and when you just go back and look at it, hey, we felt like we had a chance to get after their O-line a little bit today. They've got some guys out. But having said that, it takes, the physicality in one's rush. And it takes all four guys to do that as well. So, but his production today was certainly significant and needed and felt, as you saw it down the stretch there.
Coach, I know you're not going to be satisfied with your run defense today, but for the second straight week, your defense is coming up with critical plays at critical moments. What does that signify to you when you see your defense, when they have to make a play, they're making the play?
Well, it's like Greg. You know, Sal asked about Greg. Those are big-time plays that Greg made for us, and we need that every week. We've talked before about getting home with four, being able to get home with four, not just on third down, but also first and second. And then in this case, they went for it on fourth down. We were able to, get off the field there, get the ball to our offense in scoring position. So, again, do we need it to be more consistent? Yes. You can't allow a team to do what they did. So we're continuing to push. We got to continue to push. To give ourselves a chance to win the game. And the turnovers, the takeaways have been big for us as well. So in addition to the adjustments by the staff in the fourth quarter in particular, and the guys showed up and they made the plays they needed to make.
The touchdown run by James in the first half, first of two, was phenomenal individual effort. Just how big was his efforts?
You talk about when he was reaching. Did he reach?
No, the long one.
Oh, the long one.
Yeah, I mean, they were both, both good, but the long one especially.
Yeah. I mean, we knew we were going to have to be able to run the football. If you drop back and throw it every player too much, right, against Miles, he's gonna win some of those. So we felt like we had to be able to run the football, be two-dimensional. And usually when you have a run like that, the big one you're talking about, Jay, you've got wide receivers blocking down the field, which is a good thing for us as well, something we pride ourselves in.
Third down, Coach, on offense, what made it so tricky today?
Well, I thought in the first half we were doing a good job of winning first down. We only, I believe, had two third downs in the first half. So we were doing what we intended to do in the first half. In the second half, we ended up with 3 for 8, I believe it was. So too many third and longs. I think the average I have it down is 7 yards. So we go from almost no third downs to a handful or more. And then they're not shorter third downs or longer third downs. So, again, when you face a great pass rushing unit like this, it makes it hard to convert in those windows.
John, you obviously win's the win. The wide receivers, again, really didn't give you much. Not that the passing game did a whole lot today, but again, another day where your wide receivers just, I know they're blocking, but they're not catching, which is kind of important. What do you need there?
Well, just overall as a team, that being one area, I would say, Sal, defensively, we've talked about that. Special teams, we had some kind of things today that didn't go the way they need to go. So, like I said, the work continues. We've got to continue to improve as a football team if we want to continue to win moving forward. So that's the summary for you. A lot to be happy about. You celebrate a win, especially this time of year, a lot to be grateful for. That said, there's plenty. Let's just start, listening one thing at a time of things we've got to work on. And the guys know that. It means a lot to our guys. They work hard, the staff as well. So we go back to work and trying to make sure that we improve in the areas we need to.
John, is there any long-term concerns about Josh's foot? Is that something after the training staff yet?
I don't have a follow-up yet from Nate. Josh, seems like he's in good spirits in there. We'll see as we go. I'm sure they'll have further evaluations that they'll get to me.
Did you get the sense that he was impacted at all in the second half by it?
Josh isn't one to lead on. If he is, he's so tough, so competitive. It's hard to tell what's really going on inside of that heartbeat of his. He just loves being out there with his teammates. So looked like he threw the ball, well. But outside of that, I don't have a great feel for where he's at right now, because I just haven't had, I visited with him shortly, but not long enough yet.
You said the pass rush you knew was going to be key because their offensive line's down with it.
Yeah, they're down a couple
guys. Is that why you wanted to blitz as much as you did, though, John?
Yeah, yes and no. You know, just once in a while you get a blitz to send some reinforcements, and that's, I thought Bobby did a good job with that. A couple things we could execute better when the blitz was dialed up there, but it certainly adds to what you do.
Prior to Shaq getting hurt, it looked like Terrell was coming in base sets, play base, but Shaq still staying at middle. Just the decision there to kind of go that way.
In terms of that plan initially coming into the game? No, it's good to have TB back out there. You know, he's one of our big-time leaders. He has a C on his chest. You know, and he came in and ended up playing, really, the remainder of the game at a certain point there. So it's every man up this, you know, every week. So you got to be ready to go, and he stepped in, and I thought did a really nice job. I think Jordan Poyer, I don't know the extent of it yet, but Jordan Poyer, I believe, was not available had we had to go out there again. All right, thank you, guys.
All right, that's Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and Sean McDermott's postgame media conference is presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. I'm Nate Geary. That is the Bulldog. We're going to take a timeout on the other side. We'll continue taking your phone calls and go over more of this 23-20 win over the Cleveland Browns. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
And off to Cook. Cuts it back through a hole, and he's off and cuts it back again into the secondary. 25-20, cuts it near side. 10-5, James Cook is in the kitchen. What a run by Cook, 44 yards to the end zone.
An elite play by James Cook for a 44-yard touchdown. There is our new era signature play of the game, brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL. I thought he cut the wrong way. Like, when he made that choice, I'm like, oh, dude, no. Oh, okay. It's like you get long runs in the NFL that sometimes are just, you know, you hit the crease and the safety's on the wrong side of the field or read it wrong, took a bad angle, and you get a nice, easy trip to the end zone. This was not that. That was much like the long run he had early in the game at the Jets in week two, where I just thought his vision and slipperiness really made the difference.
Yeah, you know, I shouldn't at this point, having watched James Cook as long as I have, really question his vision. Bulldog, is it's remarkable. And early on in his career, it wasn't that way, but yeah, he has become just such a fluent reacting running back. And, you know, like right now, 100 plus yards today. We'll see what happens. I think it's tonight, Jonathan Taylor. No, that's tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, Jonathan Taylor. So we'll see what that looks like. Jonathan Taylor has a chance to take the lead back. He was 28 yards short of Jonathan Taylor going into this game. He's got two games left to potentially win the rushing title. I have not seen his name much mentioned in the Offensive Player of the Year category, James Cook, that is. And I wonder if we start to see that change here in the next couple of days.
I mean, the stats are going to speak for themselves. I mean, over 1,500 yards on the season now, two games to go. I mentioned already when I was running through the Skyworks stats of the game that, you know, we were all sort of bracing for touchdown regression to come calling, and he may not get to 16, which was a rather incredible total from last year, but he's at 12. So, you know, even if it's going to be a bump down, it's going to be very modest. So credit to him. He has really become one of the very best running backs in the league. I think I need to say it that clearly at this point. He has the breakaway speed these last two seasons that I don't think he had his first 2 years in the league. And, boy, the thought of this offense without him in it, I mean, all the cold takes from the summer, and me included. Like, I don't pay a running back.
It seems silly now. It seems silly now.
Yeah, it seems absolutely like it's embarrassing. I admit it, because he's along with Josh Allen. Like, he is the bankable commodity you have on this offense.
There's no doubt about that. And today, you know, we're talking about right now the wide receiver room has been, I think, a big part of the conversation today, but You look at the tight end room, and largely Dawson Knox the last few weeks has really been coming on, three catches or more in five straight games. Really tough drop in the end zone. I mean, the two drops today from Cooks and Knox are as easy. I mean, you can't hand them the ball in a better way, much less, you know, down the field throws. And such a big moment there. The Bills are lucky that the defense was able to bail them out there. And frankly, Greg Rousseau was able to bail them out because that's a touchdown that ends the game effectively. So, the drops in the wide receiver room and a tight end with Dawson Knox today. One target, I could tell you, I don't remember seeing a lot of Dalton Kincaid out there today. You know, they're going to need more from him in a game where it was close enough. I know they're, you know, trying to protect him and keep him fresh, but if you can't use him, I'm struggling to figure out how he can be on a game day roster if he's got to play 20% of the snaps or whatever. I just don't see the value.
Yeah. I mean, it normally when he does play, even in a minimal fashion, he is productive.
He's impacting the game, yeah.
Yeah, today, I mean, he had that one, you know, one very close to great catch on the sideline there with the toe tap, but didn't quite have that second foot down properly, I guess I just want to say. Like, it's always that deal where the foot is going out of bounds, heel first, and the rules are different, and it's always been confounding to me. But and I was watching this game with my son Owen, and I walked out of the room muttering about that. And he's like, "What are you talking about? He tapped his foot." I'm like, "I'm just telling you, the rules guy is going to come on here and say something about the fact that he was going heel first out of bounds, not toe first, and that it's a different rule or something. It's a different interpretation of the rule." And like, sure enough, here we are.
It also turned into, well, you know, nowadays with all of these angles and slow motion. It's supposed to help us. Yeah. Anyways, let's grab one more phone call before we take a timeout and get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills, and go to Bob, who's been waiting patiently. Bob, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, guys. A couple of observations I wanted to kind of talk to you about and get your opinion. Did have a quick comment regarding McDermott. There's absolutely nothing he did that was wrong today. I mean, every decision that he made was on point. He's learned from his previous, but the way he callers bang on him, like on that fourth down, I'm sorry, on that, that's a challenge. There's nothing wrong with that. The time clock started once they got a first down. So I just don't understand the criticism about that. But my biggest issue and problem with this team, and it's obvious that we cannot stop the run. We are facing the 29th rush offense in the NFL with their best running back being out. And we are abysmal when it comes to setting the edge. I don't know if it's Dorian Williams and Bernard. I don't know whether or not our gap integrity is way off. We seem confused. We seem to overrun pursuit plays. It's bad. I mean, it's downright pathetic. And if we go into the NFL playoffs, with this run defense, I don't care who we're playing. We're just going to get smoked. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Well, I can tell you, they're going into the playoffs with his defense. So,
I want to pump the brakes on they're just going to get smoked. Because the Browns did almost whatever they wanted on the ground. And, it was a closer game, mostly because of, drops on the Bills side and only, scoring a field goal in the second half of this game. But games where they have been gashed on the ground this year, the Atlanta game, the Houston game, the offense ended up, to me, being the bigger issue in the game. They stabilized in both of those losses and, scored 14 points in a 10-point loss in Atlanta. Houston was a close game. So I don't know. I understand, like, you watch the game, and it's annoying to watch a team that isn't known for being able to do this thing very well, do it well against you, but I don't know that it has to get you beat, ultimately.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I too am, like I think everybody, frustrated with their issues on the defensive side of the ball trying to stop the run. It is the most consistent thing with this entire team is their inability to stop the run, and it's the missed tackles. It's like sometimes I watch them, and it's like this is the first time they've stepped foot on a football field before. It just they have a really tough time with fundamentals, and you know you can blame coaching all you want, but at the end of the day, the guys that are out there should know how to play football and know their gap integrity and what their responsibility is, and not to overrun and to simply just get the guy on the ground. I even have a problem sometimes where it's like, okay, well, they got him in the backfield and he still falls forward for 2-3 yards. I don't know. It's frustrating, but they are now, what, 11? Are we at 11 wins now? Yeah, there have been games where it's hurt them. Their offense has largely been able to overcome it. Even games where it looks like they're going to get smoked, they've found ways to come back. So I'm not with you there that I think they're going to go into the playoffs and get smoked because they can't stop the run. But, man, it would be nice to feel like when you start a game, you know they're not going to average 9 yards, a touch and walk down the field on you and start the game 7-0. Okay, we should take a break. We'll settle down. Yeah. You give us another call, 803-0550. We'll talk about the run defense if you'd really like to. If that's the kind of thing you're into right before Christmas, that's what you want to talk about. We're happy to do it here on the postgame show. I'm Nate Geary. That's the Bulldog. This is Buffalo Bills football. All right, welcome back to Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm Nate Geary. With the Bulldog here as the Bills get to their 11th win of the season after a 23-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Probably grab a couple more phone calls here before we take a top of the hour break and get into hour two. Let's start start this segment off with Jason, who's been waiting patiently. Jason, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller. The reason I called is the penalty on Milano, I thought, changed the entire momentum of the game. I think we were up 20-10, and man, I think it was third down, and he was surrounded by all the Bills players were surrounding the whoever had the ball, and it changed the whole momentum of the game. That I don't want that point to go not looked at. And then the second thing I keep telling my wife is, man, Josh is getting killed on those tush pushes. He keeps getting his bell rung. And that the one we did in the middle of the field, the first hit he took right on his head, I was like, oh my God, they're going to kill this kid. So I just wanted to bring up those 2 points. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jason.
I thought the exact same thing on the Milano play. I mean, I don't know how hard you want to go after him for instinctually doing what he did there, but it was pretty clear he tripped him and had stuck his leg out. And what he doesn't know is that he's got like 4 teammates that are also surrounding the ball carrier. If he could do it over again, or if he could possibly maybe know that, then maybe he doesn't, you know, extend the leg and take the penalty, because I think they were going to bring that ball carrier down short of the first down easily. So it was a somewhat important little play, I would say.
Agreed. And on the tush push point, it's funny because I was saying to Zach when it happened, like Reggie Gilliam, the momentum he creates when he pushes Josh Allen, there are other teams that do tush pushes, and I don't see someone get launched like 2 yards when Reggie Gilliam pushes Josh Allen, and like he kind of pushed him right into somebody else. I thought the same thing about him getting his bell rung on that play. It's the danger of the play itself is you are exposing your quarterback to, you know, in cases, unnecessary hits. And, obviously he popped back up. But that I noticed the same thing on that tush push play. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, guys. Good evening. You know, one thing really quick, and I point this out to a lot of people because, you know, we all know the Bills and we know the way they play and you get used to things. But, you know, the one thing I notice most, and this is what I tell people, you know, at the beginning of every single game, if you're an NFL team, when you're fresh, when you're not tired, when you got everything new in your mind, you get a fresh uniform, you feel great. It doesn't surprise me when a team comes down and scores on us. Running, passing, whatever it is, you know, you're fresh. What I see about the Bills, what I really like, is that the Bills shine in the third and fourth quarter. We seem to wear teams down. And Epinesa, Rousseau, these guys are top-of-the-line athletes, man. They are meant to go the distance. And I don't see that from a lot of other teams. If we can just maintain
and we stay close, we can always have a chance to win. And I agree with the tush push thing. Stop beating up Josh. Let him do a bootleg, for God's sake. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jeff. In the same vein, it's a very successful play for them.
So. I know. I'm just going to, yeah, I don't. Maybe the best I can do is to offer you this, that at least, easy for me to say from, you know, where I'm watching, it's not like it's a high-speed collision.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so hopefully that, you know, mitigates it. I mean, I would think the Bills are paying attention to the kind of hits their quarterback is taking, and they've not changed this tactic. So I doubt it's going to change anytime soon. I like the point about this defense, especially in the second half. I mean, the offense today was the opposite of what we've seen often this year, where they're sort of sleepy to start and then get going in the second half. We saw that certainly last week and against the Bengals to a certain extent. Here's 20 points in the first half, and they even left some out there, and then only a field goal after halftime. But defensively, I think it's more than a trend now that they go in at halftime and just seem to come back out with a better idea of what is trying, what an opponent is trying to do to them. And I think the results speak for themselves. Their point differential in the second half of games is best in the league by a lot. And I think the defense certainly has a lot to do with that.
There's something to be said, too, about the offense's game script. I mean, it is supposed to be the thing you practice all week long, your first 10 plays, your scripted plays. And then, you know, you have to adjust as an offense after that. So, I would agree. I'm not overly surprised. It doesn't just happen to the Bills. But, you know, it has been a pretty consistent issue for this Bills team in the first half, especially early in these games, where it would be nice to feel like they've got any answers whatsoever. It does appear very easy for opposing offenses. And by the way, this one is one of the worst ones they're going to play this year. And I think that's something to be said too in this matchup. We're going to take a timeout on the other side. We'll continue taking your phone calls at 803-0550. I'm Nate Geary. That's the Bulldog. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Fakes the handoff to Davis, rolling out in hot pursuit is Diabate, but he gets the ball off. It's complete to Hawes, who fights away from a tackle by Bush and gets 8 extra yards after the catch. He's down to the 28-yard line.
Says a lot about the afternoon that Josh Allen and the passing offense had, that is our highlight for Eye on the Quarterback, which is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. The Bills in a 23-20 win over the Browns. Josh Allen, very modest, 12 of 19 passing, 130 yards in total. He was sacked twice, carried the ball 7 times for 17 yards. Maybe most notably, he was hurt, and it was maybe a little scary there. They worked on him for a while on the sideline. He walked off with no shoe on, appeared to be walking fine when he was in full view, but once he got to the tunnel, it appeared to me, the footage that I saw, that he was limping pretty noticeably. But he came charging out after halftime and says he's fine, so hopefully indeed he is. But just a not a real productive day, and you know, still the Bills find a way to win the game.
Yeah, and, you know, I hate to beat the dead horse. I mean, I feel like I've been beating it for 6 years now. But the wide receivers in this game, not doing a lot to help Josh Allen.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW.
This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ellen, and the thing that I guess I watch in these games, Bulldog, is... It feels hard to know who exactly to blame because these are NFL wide receivers, for the most part. I mean, Josh Palmer, you know, I know wasn't a full time player and was kind of the third wide receiver in Los Angeles behind, you know, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But you know, I just there's no impact. I don't notice him on the field, and I don't know whether to blame that more on the offensive scheme and how these receivers are being utilized. I'm sure there's a part of this that's Josh Allen's fault in not being able to find. And I don't know if that is because he just doesn't trust them and doesn't trust that, A, they're open when they're supposed to be, or B, that they're going to hold on to the damn ball. And I would have no gripe if he's worried about them dropping the ball. He had a couple of egregious ones today. I look at this group of receivers, and, you know, I know we had a previous caller said, you know, they're going to get blown out if they can't stop the run. And, you know, I think we both disagree with that. But I don't know how far this team can go, even in a, you know, conference right now that's not going to feature any of the elite quarterbacks, if they don't have a wide receiver step up. And I'm looking at Shakir too, and I think for me, Bulldog, the usage with Shakir is more of a problem than his ability. I think he is their best receiver. They certainly don't use him like it.
No, I know. He you know, even though he's, you know, in the slot, I mean, we see the Lions get Amon-Ra St. Brown off like crazy now. I mean, that's they're not the same player, but it's merely to point out that if your best guy is your slot guy, you can still feed him to the tune of, you know, where he's going to have 100 catch seasons and whatnot. And they don't seem to do that with Shakir. And, yeah, I mean, the receiving core, I mean, I mentioned how modest the stats were. I mean, if Cooks holds on to the ball there, or Knox holds on to his that's in the end zone, the stats are better. You've got a touchdown pass. So some guys let him down today. But, yeah, I mean, the whole thing to me is going to be even kicked up another notch, Nate, with the choices that were made today, you know, before kickoff, going inactive with both Gabe Davis and Keon Coleman. You know, I can understand their skill sets kind of mirroring one another enough that you're maybe forced to make a choice one or the other. But when you're at Brandon Cooks, who you just picked up off waivers around Thanksgiving, and Mecole Hardman, who was on the streets when you picked him up, you know, a month and a half ago, boy, I mean, it's really telling that those are the choices made by the coaching staff going into this game. So I think the run defense will continue to be the thing, because I think fans, to an extent, feel emasculated watching their team get run over like that as often as they do. But I'm way more worried about the Bills' ability to find receivers when they need plays down the stretch against, whether it's, you know, it's not going to be the kingpin teams that we're used to, but they're going to be good teams with good defenses. And I just don't know if the Bills are going to have enough in that department. And, I mean, one way that you can stay in games when you get run on is that if you can answer, and especially answer quickly. But this offense has not proven to be very explosive at the receiver position at all, and that's putting it mildly.
And listen, I think you have every right, if you want to watch this game and come away saying, man, the defense just is, they're not good, and they give up big plays, they can't tackle, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to fight back with you on that. It's largely correct. But to me, it's not the takeaway of this game. To me, the takeaway is the offense, you know, starting off, I think, better than they did last week, a little bit hotter. The run game really got going in that first half. And then they kind of just, whether it was lack of attempts, lack of possessing the football, because the defense was struggling to get off the field on the other side. But I think for me, the story of this game is how the offense in the second half really could not sustain drives, really right from the beginning. The first drive of the second half, they go three and out to start the second half.
Yeah.
And you got another, you know, drive where you've got a third and fourth down conversion where Josh Allen's got two open players and misses them both high on both throws. And then I'm immediately thinking to myself, well, something's wrong with the foot. It's his plant foot. Both throws were high. Something's going on there. And so, you know, whether it was Josh Allen being a little off and inaccurate today, or these receivers not separating, not catching the football when given the opportunity, to me, the bigger story and the bigger concern leaving this game was the offense for me over the defense.
And it's been, that's largely been the case for a lot of this season. I've mentioned more than once, again, with all the hue and cry about the defense and what it looks like and what it feels like when we're watching, like in their losses this year, I think you and I have talked about this when you've been sitting in for Mike on our weekly show in Buffalo, Nate, that the Atlanta game, he scored 14 points and lost by 10.
Yeah.
And as bad as the defense got manhandled in the first half of that game, you gave up a field goal after halftime, and it was just an inability to handle blitzes and find your way to some points. Houston, same thing. I mean, they got manhandled in the first half, buckled it up in the second half, and offensively, I just couldn't seem to handle what was going on up front. And, I mean, that's an elite Houston defense, but still, you know, these are examples of games. Now, today is close to that kind of game, but the Bills won it by 3 points. The defense, I don't think, has cost them in their losses. Even the Miami game was 16-0 into the fourth quarter. I mean, then they got gashed a couple of times, and, you know, you can choose to hold that against them if you want. I'll choose to not hold it against them because it's like with 4 minutes to go and you were worn out. But I'm making the point saying their defense has not really cost them in their losses this year. That's largely the case in at least three of the four losses.
I also think, and I love when Jeremy White on our morning show on WGR, I love when he talks about the transition from the regular season where it's more like stroke play to the playoffs where it becomes more like match play, and getting, you know, the best defense in the league gets averages about five stops a game, six stops a game, right, at the very most. So, you know, if you're Josh Allen, if you have a team with Josh Allen, asking your defense, no matter how bad they are, this defense right now is averaging around 4.5. It's not that far off from the stops per game, you know, that's punts and turnovers, you know, per game that the best defense in Houston is making week in and week out. So, again, it says something to me, too, that last year, this team, you know, with the AFC championship on the line, it was not the defense, Bulldog. It was the offense with the ball in their hands with an inability to convert, extend that game, and ultimately go down and win the game. And listen, you're Josh Allen is one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in football, and he plays like it for, you know, pretty much each and every week. You know, this week notwithstanding, I mean, his, you know, 100 and whatever yards, it wasn't a very prolific statistical day for Josh Allen. But, you know, it can be so hard to judge and so hard to watch because of how little help this offense is getting outside of James Cook. And there's no doubt James Cook is playing, you and I both kind of agree, at an offensive player of the year level, and that's just to sort of sustain the rest of it, you know, and you know, using their running backs in the passing game more has worked, using their tight ends in the passing game more has worked. But I don't think you can go into a postseason match play event and not go with one of your clubs in the bag. Like, you can't go into a match play event without your driver. And that's kind of what it feels like this offense is doing. It's really relying on the short game, on the gimmicks, long putts, but that's not sustainable. Hitting 30-foot putts is not going to help you win, you know, in a match play event. And I just kind of keep thinking about that when I think about the shortcomings of this offense.
Yeah, there's if you're like sort of hoping every now and then, you know, we'll get the thought brought to us either on these post game shows or our Monday through Friday shows in Buffalo about, you know, how much are they not showing, right? Are they saving stuff?
Sure.
That kind of thing. I'm at a point here, and I don't know that anyone wouldn't be at the same point, so I might just be, you know, saying something into the wind for no good reason, but I don't think they're holding anything back. These are their receivers. This is their passing game. And, you know, if you can get by with, you know, three passes to each of your three tight ends, you know, being the driver of your offense, I mean, I tip my hat to you, but I think it's a tough way to live.
I agree. Let's get connected with our fans powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills, and go to Randy. Randy, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Randy.
Hey, Nate and Bulldog. I just want to say, first of all, the Bills' run defense is doing a lot better than I am right now. I was listening to my favorite fantasy podcast, ADP Chasing, earlier in the week. They had advised me to start Seattle's defense. I'm down 40 points in my first-round matchup of the playoffs, so that's a shame, first and foremost. But question for you gentlemen is after Monday Night Football concludes, hopefully the Bills have a playoff spot clinched, do we go ahead and maybe think about start resting the boys up, even for this Philadelphia game, you know, as we're making this final push here? What do you guys think about that? I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Randy. I think it's an interesting question. I would probably lean towards no. Maybe more towards week 18 against I think right now with it, maybe this is different, Bulldog, if the Chargers lose today against the Dallas Cowboys and you're kind of firmly sitting in that five spot. And right now it's a 7-7 game between Houston and Las Vegas. And, you know, I'm sure Houston will eventually pull away here. I think they're going to be in a fight for seeding for the next 2 weeks. I'm not sure they'll have the luxury of sitting this week or, you know, this upcoming week or week 18.
Yeah, I mean, there's two races you're running concurrently. You know, the division, you're still there for it. We'll see. Like, if New England were to lose tonight, you then, I think, have the wiggle room to not have the Philly game be as important. And then like push it down the road and see if you do get the help you need, because you're going to need help. Even if New England loses this game to Baltimore, you need them to lose one of the division games. So there's that. That could complicate things. But mostly, I think this is where the other race you're running comes into play, and that is the 5, the 6, or the 7. And my feeling, and I'm pretty entrenched here, is to go as hard as you can for the 5. Because with so much uncertainty within the playoff field right now, not so much as which teams are going to be in, but just how good they are, I think it's never been more possible to see all three road wildcard teams, the Bills being one of them, winning in the wildcard round. I mean, the 7 versus the 2 is going to be maybe, what, Houston at New England? You know, Denver's in the one hole now. I think you'd want to have the 5 just in case it falls to you that the 6 and the 7 also win and you're in a position where you could be hosting games.
I would agree with you. I think it's really important for them to secure the 5 seed. And you talked about that potential 7-2 matchup between like a Houston and a New England. I'm like, give me that. Give me all of that. I think one of those two teams not being a team that advances to the second round. I'm watching a Jacksonville Jaguars team right now that certainly looks the part as of an AFC contender, like a Super Bowl, a real legitimate Super Bowl contender that can play offense, that can play defense, has a young quarterback that I think finally has a head coach that's getting the most out of him. That's also not really a team I'm looking to play either as in the 3 seed. So that means right now, if the season ended today, the Bills are going to Jacksonville. And I'll tell you, that just feels like a really difficult matchup, and maybe one of the, I would say, the last couple of wild card rounds. Would that be the toughest wild card matchup they've had since Houston, since Josh Allen's second season?
It's the first time they'll be playing that game on the road since Houston.
Yeah.
And yes, I would agree with you. I mean, they've been home and mostly, you know, as the 2, they've had the lowest seeded team in. And, you know, last year that was a 30-7 walk in the park against Denver.
Let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Ken. Ken, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Ken.
Good evening, fellas. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Man, yep, got you, man.
Watching this game, I was like really like torn because I'm puzzled as to what factors into Joe Brady's thinking as it relates to situational play calling. I'm thinking specifically about the end of this first half when we have the ball and you know, Cook is in a rhythm, has over 100 yards passing. Second and one, we have three timeouts.
Yep.
And he calls a pass play, and Josh loses 22 yards and nearly loses his season because he twists his ankle. Something got hurt. I'm not sure what factor in his decision-making. And then later, of course, in the game, fourth and one, again, we roll out. We throw the ball to Knox, and he drops it, which stopped the clock, and it gave him the ball back. So I'm just, like, not very, very sure what his thinking is or what he arrives at in terms of game planning, but it's questionable, to say the least. Then the other part becomes – why is it that we keep bringing all these receivers in, but he can't find a way to scheme these guys into the structure of the game plan? Elijah Moore asked to be released. How many players were asked to be released from a Super Bowl contending team? But this is a guy who had 60 catches the last 2 years, 2 years in a row, about 1,200 yards. That's a lot of production for a wide receiver in Cleveland, yet we couldn't find a way to use him any other way but a bubble screen and a jet sweep. So I'm curious to know your thoughts in terms of why is it that this offensive coordinator cannot inculcate these wide receivers into the scheme in a better way than he does. Granted, Cooks had a couple of drops the last 2 weeks, but he's just not did it. He hasn't done a good job at it at all. So I'm interested in your take on that.
Yeah, thanks,
I'm sorry, you're doing great. And then you mentioned Cooks, who is schemed open.
He won a matchup today.
Yeah. Last week he was schemed open. And just drops it. So I don't know. I think the receivers just are not that good. Is what the fundamental problem is. Second and one, Nate. You were nodding along as the caller's talking. But you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that often this team this year has been criticized, and I think it's valid for running on second and one when that's like a
lack of urgency.
That is a easy shot play. Down in distance, especially when you've got the tush push here. I mean, of course, you disastrously lose 20 some yards on the sack, and it almost did wreck your season. I mean, I don't disagree, but I think you should almost always call a pass play on second and one with this quarterback and that offensive line, because third and one, fourth and one, I can get that. So second and one should be something I can dial up and torch you on. So I don't mind at all that you call the pass play there. So I don't. That's my defense of that criticism. I think it's sort of cherry picking when it went wrong. Whereas often we'll hear from people, and I think it's valid. Like, why are they just running on second and one? I mean, it's such an easy conversion on third and one if the pass play doesn't hit, and you're you know not giving yourself an opportunity for a big play.
I think hindsight is 20/20 in that particular play, right? I mean, of course, any other play would have been more successful than Josh Allen dropping back, losing 23 yards, nearly hurting himself, and, you know, almost getting a safety on the play. I don't think anyone would argue otherwise. But I guess where I come off in the conversation now going more towards Joe Brady and his ability to scheme, right? And to your point, I mean, the play we're talking about to Brandon Cooks is he is schemed wide open. He has to catch the football. I think there is a balance. There is a, you know, when you're making a recipe, there's a lot of different things that go into making a recipe. And right now, I think a little of it is lack of creativity in finding ways to get guys open. You watch an NFL offense, and if you watch, you know, a Sean Payton offense, if you watch a Detroit Lions offense that doesn't even have Ben Johnson anymore, the way that they use, you talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown, but just like the route combinations, the stick routes and the option routes, and this is a concept-based passing offense. And for those that don't necessarily know what that means, this isn't an offense where, you know, you hear John Gruden try to call a play on the quarterback class and he's got every single route with a tagged route or every single, you know, wide receiver going out with a tagged route in the call. They call concepts. And concepts, you know, and everybody talks about how a couple games ago they were spamming mesh too much, and they can disguise mesh a lot of different ways. But it's a concept. And I think the issues that I have is they I was under the impression this offensive coordinator, this system, this scheme and these concepts convinced me that Stephon Diggs really couldn't play at a high level anymore. And it's very clear he still can. And I look in, I say, well, Khalil Shakir, I've seen him in this system, in these concepts, go down the field and make catches. And he's rarely used in that way. Yeah. And I see, you know, Tyrell Shavers go 4 for 90 against in a touchdown against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then go 3 games before he sees his next target. So to me, it's just the inconsistency in which these players are on the field. To me, it's got to be really difficult if you are a Brandon Cooks who is coming from a system where he's playing 90% of the snaps, because that's how normal, to me anyways, football is played. You have a hierarchy. You have a first receiver, a second receiver, and a third receiver. And those guys mostly play because they're the best ones. The problem is they don't really have that structure here. And right. You've got a bunch of guys playing 50 and 60% of the snaps. And if you're Elijah Moore, where your frustration is I'm getting 30% of the snaps. How am I supposed to establish a rhythm? How is Josh Allen supposed to be able to cue and understand my body language of when I'm supposed to go inside or outside or stop a route or stem a route? These are all, I think, very valid frustrations if you're a wide receiver in this offense. But some of it's the play calling in the situations, in the down and distances. Some of it is just plain how the plays are designed. Yeah. And other ones are Josh Allen's execution on them. Some of them are, he's not getting the protection right up front. And that's kind of what happened on that play on second down. Is I don't think it was protected properly. So I don't know. I get where you're going, and I'm with you. It's a frustrating passing offense. There's no doubt about it. A lot of it's because of the talent, and I think some of it has to do with Joe Brady's inability to build a complex passing offense. And yep. I think both are true. And how much of one or the other it is, we'll debate for the next 5 months. So get right. Buckle up.
You would have hoped that by this point in this season, to say nothing about last season, that eventually the chemistry with the receiving core and the quarterback would improve, and that this natural sort of hierarchy you're describing, right, your first, second, and third best receivers would become obvious as the year goes on, or at least who the best guy is would become obvious. And that has not happened. And you have far more likely now a situation where if the quarterback does make mistakes, you're inclined to give him the benefit of the doubt because you're not sure if he trusts what he's seeing. Does he trust that the number one option on a given play is going to win quickly enough? I wouldn't blame him if he doesn't. And that's just no way to live when you've got microseconds to make these decisions.
No, I completely agree. Let's take a timeout. We're also going to get some live player sound from the locker room this hour as well. We'll continue taking your phone calls at 803-0550. We've got a couple of open phone lines. We've got a couple of folks waiting on hold. We'll get to on the other side. If we don't get to you during this show, I will be on for 45 minutes after, once we break from the Buffalo Bills radio network and our local station here in Buffalo, WGR 550, and the overtime show. So if you don't get on with us here, I'll have some opportunities in a brief 45-minute show before the Sabres take on the New Jersey Devils tonight. I'm Nate Geary. That's the Bulldog. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. The Bills win 23-20. They get their 11th win of the season. And I'm Nate Geary. That is the Bulldog. Bulldog, you been watching any of these other games, these 4 o'clock window games?
I'm red zoning. So I've seen, I'm dipping in. Obviously, I'm at their mercy here. But Jacksonville, Denver looks like it'll be a pretty solid second half. It's been a really fun first half. 14-10 currently. Jacksonville driving inside the 2-minute warning. Pittsburgh and Detroit 3-3. What a slugfest we got going there. And Houston are they still tied 7-7 with the Raiders?
It is 10-7 now, Houston.
Okay.
Raiders have the ball.
Oh yeah, that's right. I saw a long field goal.
I think I just saw a tweet, and I'm trying to find the tweet in the locker room talking to Deion Dawkins, and Deion Dawkins saying that he lost 14 pounds this week. Oof. Due to illness. 14. Can I get that?
14 pounds for him is not that much.
Yeah, I guess not. I'll take that. Whatever he's got, though, if we could bottle that up, I'll take 14.
I did hear, right at the end of Sean McDermott, I believe, I don't know if you caught this, we went right to break after that, which is usually how it works, but one of the last things he said was that he believed that Jordan Poyer had suffered enough of an injury that
yes.
if they'd had to go back on the field on defense, he wouldn't have been able to. That color me very surprised, shocked, even
concerned.
If in the week before Christmas, I'm hearing that Jordan Poyer might be dinged and going, oh no, he's been good for them back
he's
there.
Been good.
Another thing that they got mocked for, and he has helped stabilize them. I mean, I know they're still giving up their their running yards and all that, but he's been a very pleasant surprise. I thought if he had to get on the field for this team, they'd be in real, real trouble. But they've made it work with him. He's made it work. He had a big game today.
The good news is there was some talk this week about DeMar Hamlin's practice window potentially being opened after missing most of the season on the IR, I believe, with a pec injury. And the Bills have had now, I think, two or three weeks now of safety Darnell Savage, not in the lineup, but a player that has played safety in the NFL. So maybe they've got better numbers now than they did a few weeks back. But losing Jordan Poyer, to me, the guy that is, I think, stabilized a lot of the things that were going wrong in the back end, I think would be a big loss for this Bills defense. There's no doubt about it. And just what he's been able to do with Cole Bishop, or I should say alongside Cole Bishop. I think there's no doubt that would be a tough blow for this Bills defense. It's already just, battered with injuries.
And not to overly alarm anyone, we don't know at all what kind of injury we're talking about, other than the fact that McDermott just admitted that he
was concerned
that
Poyer
would not have been able to go back out on the field if they had to go out on the field again. So
let's go back to the phones. Let's grab Butch from the East Side. Butch, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Thanks for picking my call, guys. Love MSG. I love WGR. And to all the fans who listen and watch the show, I love you. Let me get right to the point. Bulldog and Nate, I love both of y'all. I just want to get to it. We had continuity in the beginning of the game. They came out, they made Coleman inactive, they made Davis inactive, and at the exact same time, they started running the football. This was the first time that Cook could have got at least 200 yards rushing. Easy. If you'd have stayed with it. You had three tight ends, the rookie tight end from Georgia Tech played well. At the exact same time, you come in with the second half, get a nice little game. It was second and two. Instead of keep pounding the rock, keeping the defense off, even the defense getting impressed, you could have dominated this game. Forget scoring 30 or 40. You could have just dominated the game. At the same exact time, I got to call Josh Allen. Josh, I know you play Superman a lot. That last play, you got hurt. You shouldn't have did that. You know what I mean? I know you do it a lot of times, but don't do that anymore. Moving forward, though, I got to get on Coach McDermott. I love Coach McDermott, but he's so loyal at the exact same time that he keeps his players that he loves. Regardless if you got a C on your shirt or not, at the exact same time, Bernard, Johnson, they two steps behind. They slow. The continuity we had going into this game, we already had playing the 4-3 with Shaq, Williams and Milano. It was working perfect. At the exact same time, you changed the game up. You brought that on yourself. Sometimes we can do things and bring things on ourselves. A lot of times don't get me wrong, I concur with you guys about Joe Brady and his play calling. At the exact same time, the wide receivers inactive at the exact same time.
Butch, it's fine. We're gonna. Thank you. It did not sound like that was. It sounded like that was going to continue to escalate with the dogs.
Yes, I mean,
not to be rude. I'm just I mean, Thompson got hurt, I think, maybe is what changed. He had to leave the game. So there was that. Bernard, there's not that Bernard should be a problem in terms of age, but I feel like Taron Johnson you know, just it might be, you know, the curve is starting to go the other way now. You know, I mean, yeah. he's had a hell of a run as one of the premier slot corners in the league. I'm not sure he's that anymore.
Yeah. No, I would agree. He's not that player anymore. Having said that, I actually didn't mind his game today. I thought he made a couple of nice plays. I didn't leave today's game thinking, man, Taron Johnson is a liability. I have left many games this year thinking that. Tonight just wasn't one of those games for me.
Yep.
803-0550, the number to call. We've got a couple of minutes here. We're going to hear from Bill's left tackle I just mentioned, who potentially have lost 14 pounds this week due to illness, who missed a bunch of time this week. We'll hear from Bill's left tackle, Deion Dawkins. And I forget who else we're going to be hearing from, Zach. Who are we? Gregory Rousseau, who, you know, ultimately is the player of the game today. And, you know, he's a good player here to quickly talk about before we take a timeout, Chris. He has been a player that I think draws the most attention. Terrell Bernard's right up there, but Gregory Rousseau tends to be the guy I think most people, and I'm not here to be the guy that's like, you know, you guys are casuals, you don't know what you're talking about. I think he wants to impact the game more and get the quarterback on the ground. I think Sean McDermott even alluded to it a little. Like, it's not for a lack of effort. He's out there, you know, he's got a job to do. Yeah. He is, and I hate feeling like I have to say this, but he is one of the premier edge run defenders in the league on the worst run defense in football. So I don't know what you want to do with that information, but I get it. And today's a game where you can kind of feel like, all right, finally. But this in moving forward, they need someone, because part of the reason they can never get off the damn field on third down is they just don't get the quarterback on the ground. And a quarterback like today, Shedeur Sanders, who holds onto the football longer than anybody else in the NFL, I think it was fitting that this was the quarterback that they finally kind of broke through with Greg Rousseau. But this is the kind of game I think they're going to need from him, you know, kind of moving forward the rest of the season.
Yeah, against stronger opponents from here on out. I mean, you know, the Jets notwithstanding here in Week 18, you've got the Eagles next week, and they're kind of on and off on offense. But still, I mean, you're waiting for Rousseau. He got paid. Now, you know, he didn't get anywhere near a top-of-market contract, but he's $20 million a year. He's in the upper middle class of defensive ends as far as the pay scale goes. And yeah, you know, that position, generally the reason you keep those guys and pay those guys is because they're proficient at winning on the edge and getting to the quarterback. You know, not to be, you know, down on his edge setting and his run defending, but I think the right point is the one you just made. Congratulations on your good PFF grade. You're excellent at something that the entire team is terrible at. Like, so I don't know how to really, you know, make heads or tails of that. What you need are plays like you got today. I mean, he changed the game for the better for the Bills with those plays today. One was a fourth down stop. So those are the kind of plays you pay $20 million or more a year for. They've been in pretty short supply with him all year. He had a big day today, so give him his flowers. But this team does not – it's one of the reasons why they signed Matthew Judon to their practice squad. We learned on Friday that they were doing that, and I'm all for it. Keep throwing darts at the board to try to find anyone who can give you something off the edge. They tried this with Morgan Fox. He got on the field, did not move the meter at all, and so he's on his way out, and in comes Matthew Judon.
The Raiders are they're in the lead now. They just pick-sixed the Texans. Interesting. Okay, something to pay attention to there. We're going to take a timeout because we've got live locker room reaction from Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins and Gregory Rousseau, so don't go anywhere. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Let's go to the locker room and hear from Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins.
What does it feel like to, you know, push through towards the end and get a tough one?
Believe it or not, they're actually a great team. You know, a lot of people thought it was just going to be easy to come in here and just, you know, blow them out by 100. No, the NFL don't work and like that. And they played us all the way to them. I tip my hat to those guys, you know, and they played us well and they played us hard. That's why I'm with the score and was close. So
respect is respect.
How much pride can you take out of the fact that you guys held Miles to one tackle? He did have a half sack, but obviously a lot of talk about him coming into the game, chasing the record. You guys really did a good job on him.
Yeah, you know, our job is to and protect 17. So, you know, I had Miles and with me the whole game. So I'm thankful that, you know, I'm able to and compete. And I'm thankful that Miles is who he is to make us compete at a high level. I respect that guy. I really do. And I'm telling him in the middle of the game that, bro, I'm just proud of you, man. Like we're able to experience history in time, you know, and I respect the guy.
He's an elite competitor, obviously.
There's Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We've got one more live player sound for you. It's Bills defensive tackle Gregory Rousseau live from the locker room.
End of the game there. You kind of took over there at the end of the game. Just give us your perspective on that.
Just doing my job. I feel like all four of us up front were rushing well. We're all working off each other. So just doing my job, 111.
More of a struggle than you guys anticipated today, though?
No, I feel like it's always going to be tough. It's a National Football League, so you got to come prepared every week. It's always going to be hard.
What did you see out of the young quarterback, Shadur?
He made some throws. He's doing his thing. But, I mean, I feel like we had a good plan, but he was trying to extend some plays, and he was making some good throws. I think it was a good play.
When you guys needed the front four to step up, you obviously did in the second half. What was the mentality going in those final drives when they kept getting the ball back?
Just win to play. 111 is win to play. I mean, no matter what the clock says or the score, just go out there, play hard. I feel like we all kind of embody that mentality, and that's what we went out there and did.
Greg, in the second half, obviously. Greg, in the second half, obviously, it was a very tight game. How gratifying is it for you guys as a defense, and then you specifically, to really step up when your team needed you to?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's the opportunity we love. You know what I'm saying? We love when it's tight in the fourth quarter. So being able to go out there and get stops, it was big for our defense.
DQ got his first ever interception at any level of football. How cool is that for you guys?
It was great. He worked so hard, whether it's the run game, the pass rushing, whatever it is. I mean, he deserves a lot more credit than he gets. Underrated. He's always coming to work, working hard, doing his thing in the game. And he's like one of our like unsung heroes, I feel like, up front.
Greg, it's like you guys active around the line of scrimmage in terms of tipping balls at the line. It's resulted in some big plays. Has that been a focus for the defense recently?
Definitely. We've been doing a tip ball drill since training camp. So, I mean, it hasn't been a focus as of late, but just in general, we always say just get our hands up because good things happen when you get tips.
Greg, what did you see on the fourth down stop? What did you see on the fourth down play? Obviously, you kind of beat the edge there.
Fourth down play. What happened?
It was a turnover on downs. I think it was fourth and two. You rushed from the right side. You had a sack.
I was just playing fast, doing my job. I think I hit a stab lift. I think Joey might have hit a spin move. So, I mean, it's all about working off each other up front. There was the other guys that were rushing well. He had nowhere to go except for out the back. And I just playing fast and made the play.
And then how about the one at the end there? You know, that was the one where – it was almost a safety. They called a safety. Yeah. They didn't. What happened on that play?
I mean, once again, good coverage. He was holding the ball, so they were locking him up down the field. And then up front, I mean, we were all just rushing good, pushing the pocket back. He had to retreat backwards, so that's what made it happen.
All right, that is Bills defensive tackle – I'm sorry, defensive end, Gregory Rousseau. A 2.5-sack performance from Rousseau. We are going to take a timeout, and on the other side, locally, once we get off of here, the Bills Radio Network, locally here in Buffalo on WGR Sports Radio 550, I will be hosting a condensed version of the overtime show, as the Sabres will be playing at 7. So Sabres pregame here in Buffalo will be also condensed, about a 15-minute version of pregame right around 6:45, and all that coming up for you. And Sunday Night Football as well. So a long night of more sports, hopefully a 7th. Is this a 7th straight win? 6th straight. I tried. I was getting ahead of myself. A 6th straight win for the Buffalo Sabres. For me, Nate Geary, Zach Jones, and the Bulldog, we appreciate you listening. This is Buffalo Bills football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.